Geostat stands for geometry and statistics in acquisition data, and the subject of my talk is to introduce an improvement method for text-independent phonetic segmentation based on the macrocanonical multi-scale formalism. So in brief, I will first focus on our motivation to view speech as a complex signal in physical sense, that is to say, to view it as a realization of complex system. Then, after having briefly introduced previous attempts in the study of complex systems, I will introduce a powerful tool to catch nonlinear character of a speech signal. This is called macrocanonical multi-scale formalism, or MMF. Then I will show the general potential of MMF to be applied on a speech analysis, and then I will turn on the application of this formalism to phonetic segmentation of a speech signal, and I will introduce our basic and the improved method for segmentation. Then finally, I will take some time to present experimental results and to conclude. So it has been theoretically and experimentally established that there exist turbulence and nonlinear phenomena in the production process of a speech signal. For example, Reynolds number, which is a number characterizing different flow regimes, is reported to be above 2000, which corresponds to a turbulence flow. However, as we know, most of the approaches in the speech processing are based on the linear source filter model, which cannot adequately take into account the nonlinear character of a speech signal. Hence, our goal here is to find and evaluate key parameters which are responsible for the complex character of a speech signal. Previous studies have shown that such parameters do exist, but they are very hard to be estimated. Our strategy is to take the analogies coming from statistical physics and to relate the complexity with the predictability of each point inside the signal. And in practice, we need to develop computationally efficient tools to estimate these parameters if they exist and to use them for practical analysis. It is important to understand in the study of complex systems. The first phase started in the late 40s with the classical work of Kolmogorov, and which was the basis for the later approaches in this domain, which were based on the study of structure functions. The main result of these methods is to recognize globally the existence of a multiscale structure without giving access to it. Instead, their main output is their main use is to decide, because they are based on the statistical average and a stationary assumption, they can be used to decide whether a system is complex or not without much more information. In the second phase, we try to determine geometrically inside the signal where the complexity happens and how it organizes itself. In more precise terms, we try to find a subset inside the signal which have the highest information content, and we try to explain how the transfer of information between different scale organizes itself. These methods are being made possible by the approaches in the statistical physics in the study of highly disordered system and the precise study of the notion of transition inside a complex system. It has been shown that the geometrical multi-scale organization is responsible for the complexities inside a signal. A typical example for this is the cascade of energy in fully developed turbulence. And the fingerprint in practice is the existence of a power law behavior in the temporal correlation function, which has to be evaluated out of any stationarity assumption at each point inside the signal. Any singularity exponent related to this power law, as we will see it shortly, is called singularity exponents, that it can be shown that it completely explains the organization of multi-scale structures. And an example in this is the canonical formalism in the study of multifractal signals. Is the canonical formalism, which was the first attempt trying to attempt singularity exponents as a global property of the signal without through what is called the Legendre spectrum. Here in this equation, we have a complex signal S and a multi-resolution functional gamma operating at a scale R. And here the brackets stand for expectations over statistical ensembles. And these exponent of this power law, tau p, could be related to the global distribution of singularity exponents through the Legendre transform. The main problem is that it's a global description. It doesn't give access to local microlocal dynamics of the signal. So in the macrocanonical formalism, we try to, instead of relying on the statistical average, we try to see inside the signal. We try to introduce singularity exponents related to geometric locations inside the signals. Hence, we have the time index T here and the multi-resolution functional gamma R. And this H of T here, the exponent of this power law is what we call the singularity exponent. And if it can be estimated precisely, it will reveal the transition fronts of the signal. Here, the main problem is the precise estimation of these parameters. And in this regard, one of the crucial choices problems is the choice of the functional gamma R. For example, we can use simply the linear increments, but it has been shown that it doesn't give a precise estimation of H of T because of the instability and sensitivity of these linear increments. A robust choice for gamma R is shown to be the gradients modulus, which is defined as the integral of the gradients modulus over the ball of radius R, BRT in this equation, and normalized by the Lobesk measure on the real line. This is defined from the typical characterization of kinetic energy in turbulence, and it has been shown that it is related to the information content of each point if we do use this measure for the calculation of H of T. So with this measure, if we can have a good estimate of H of T, we can unlock a very important subset inside the signal, which is called most singular manifold. This corresponds to the points inside the signal which have the least value of singularity exponents. It has been shown that the lower the value of singularity exponent is, the higher it is around the given point. So the critical transitions of the signal is happening at these points. And moreover, a reconstruction formula has been proposed and it has been shown in many applications that we can reconstruct the whole signal having access to only this small subset of the data. So this is just to show the importance of the singularity exponents. Now after that, we can turn on to see how they can be applied to a speech signal. Previously, we have shown that the estimation procedure of H of T for a speech signal, and we have shown that we can have good estimate of H of T for the majority of points inside the speech signal. Here we have a speech signal extracted from TIMIT database with vertical red lines, which shows the phoneme boundaries from manual transcriptions provided in TIMIT database. And of course, the objective of text-independent method phonetic segmentation is to identify these phoneme boundaries within a tolerance window. So since these different phonemes, we know that they have different statistical properties, we expect their singularity exponents to have different behaviors. To show this, we studied the distribution of the singularity exponents, the time evolution of the distribution of singularity exponents. So we have windows of length 30 milliseconds. We compute the histogram and we plot it, the time evolution over time. One can easily notice in this graphical representation, which I repeat is the conditional histogram of singularity exponents conditioned on time. One can easily notice the remarkable change in the distribution of singularity exponents between different phonemes. This has been extensively evaluated over different speech signals. But the problem is that we cannot use this graphical representation for developing an automatic segmentation algorithm. To provide a new easier to be used for an automatic algorithm, we noticed that the easiest interpretation of this change in distribution is change in average. Hence, we defined a new measure, we call it ACC, which is simply the primitive of exponents. And this could be considered as the accumulated average, instantaneous average of singularity exponents. Here we can see the resulting functional, and it is clear that it shows the difference in distributions in more clear way. So inside each phoneme, the ACC is more or less linear with an abrupt change in slopes on the phoneme boundaries. To develop an automatic segmentation algorithm, again, a very simple method is to fit a piecewise linear curve to this ACC by minimizing the mean square error. Here we have the ACC again, along with the fitted curve, and we have identified the breaking points as our candidate boundaries. You can see that we have identified most of the boundaries with very good resolution because there is the higher, because we don't have any windowing problem in this. We have access to highest possible resolution, which is the sampling frequency of the speech signal. So the primary simulation shows that this very simple method has comparable results with the state of the art, which was presented in our previous works. And one added advantage is that this method is not sensitive to the threshold selection, as we will see in the experimental results. But however, by performing the error analysis of this method, we observe that there are points in the that we have the distinct difference in the distribution of singularity exponents, but the ACC is not able to reveal them, to identify these boundaries. Or there are points that there is no distinctive change in the distributions, but the ACC and linear curve fitting make some mistakes. Hence, we try to use a very classical approach in the detection of change detection, which has been widely used in segmentation algorithms, which is a two-step procedure to first pre-select a set of candidates generously, and then do a hypothesis test to do the final decision to see whether each candidate truly corresponds to a change in the in our features or not. So for the pre-selection step, we had two observations. First, we saw that some of the missed boundaries correspond to the transitions between fricative stops to vowels. And second, we saw that the best transitions to detect are the transitions between low energy segments or silence or pauses to phonemes, because in silence we have highly positive value of singularity exponents, and in active parts we have highly negative values. So it is really easy to detect the change in the slopes of ACC. Hence, we decided to to apply a low-pass filter to the original signal and do exactly the same to compute the singularity exponents and ACC for the low-pass signal. Here is an example. In the left figure, you can see the ACC of the original signal, and in the right one, you can see the ACC of the low-pass filter of the signal. We know that fricative steps and stops are essentially high-band signals, and low-pass signal turns them into a low energy, into low energy segments. We can see that also figure we have some change in shape of ACC, but it is not easy to detect with the linear curve fitting. But in the right-hand side, we have it's much easier to detect it. Here is another example. Again, I emphasize that we have the change in the original ACC, but it is not easy to detect. But in the low-pass version on the right-hand side, it is really easy to detect it. So, as the first step, we apply the MMF ACC, our basic algorithm, to signal and its low-pass filtered version, and we gather all the breaking points as our candidates. Then, in the second point, we perform a dynamical windowing followed by a log likelihood ratio hypothesis test to see each one of the candidates whether they truly correspond to a change in distribution of singularity exponents or not. I emphasize that we do this on the singularity exponents or the signal itself, because we are interested to show the strength of singularity exponents. The low-pass filtered version does not have any real meaning. It's just some diversity we add to our algorithm. So here is the dynamical windowing procedure. For each point, we consider three windows, X, Y, and Z. We have the Gaussian hypothesis and we have two hypotheses, that the singularity exponents of Z are generated by a single Gaussian, or it is generated by two Gaussians on X or Y. If H1 was likelier than H0, then we take the candidate as a boundary. Otherwise, we remove it from our candidate list and we go to the next boundary. So, in our experimental simulations were done on TMIT database on the full training folder of TMIT, which consists of 4,600 sentences, and we have developed our algorithm over 30 randomly chosen files from this database. We have try to report all the possible performance indexes, because there is this difficulty in the literature to compare. We have reported all of them to simplify later comparisons. There are two categories of scores, partial or global. We have hit rate, or hit rate which shows the rate of correctly detected boundaries, over segmentation which shows how much more we have detected, and false alarm shows that how many false boundaries we have detected. The problem with these partial scores is that they can go in opposite direction. For example, an improvement in hit rate could correspond to an increase in false alarm rates. So we cannot do a fair comparison only with partial scores. But global scores, they take these partial scores simultaneously into account. So for example, F1 takes hit rate and false alarm into account, and R value takes hit rate and over segmentation into account with much more emphasis on over segmentation rate. So here are the experimental results. First, we can see that MFACC is our basic algorithm and MMF-LLRT is the improved method. For all different tolerances, we can see that we have like 2 or 3% improvement in false alarm rate and like 4% in over segmentation, and hit rates are more or less the same. And this shows the improvement over the basic algorithm. But when we compare to the reference number 7, which is one of the state of the art in the literature, we can see that for the tolerance of 25 milliseconds, we have almost the same hit rate. We have like 8% improvement in the false alarm rate, and we have 10% improvement in over segmentation rates. But more importantly, if we go to lower tolerances for 5 milliseconds, we can see that for all of these, we have like more than 10% improvement in hit rate, false alarm, and over segmentation. This is because the high resolution of the ACC functional, that we don't rely on windowing, we don't have the windowing, we have access to the finest possible resolution. And in terms of global measures, we can see that again, for low resolutions, we have more than 10% improvement in both of the global scores, and for 25 milliseconds, we have like 6 or 4% improvement in R and F value. I mentioned that the method is not sensitive to threshold, which is a problem of the classical text-independent methods of phonetic segmentation. Here we have shown the sensitivity of the algorithm to the kerf-fitting threshold. We have changed the threshold to over 400%, the value of the threshold, and the value of R value only has changed in 0.5%. This shows that the choice of the threshold is not important at all in this algorithm, which is for text independent is an important feature. So by this method we have emphasized on the strength of singularity exponents in detection of transition fronts in the speech signal. But more importantly, the promising phonetic segment the algorithm, the encouraging results in phonetic segmentation, shows the potential of MMF in the analysis of microlocal dynamics of a speech signal. Hence, our future work is to use MMF in other domains of speech technology, and to use the reconstruction formula or the concept of optimal wavelet, which is an ongoing research, and the result. We hope to have good results in that field also. Thank you very much for your attention.
Right on time, so you can take questions one-on-one, but this is officially the end of the session. So thank you again, and thanks to all the speakers, and have a good time.